I don't do pajamas. I have the kids sleep in tomorrow's clothes every day.
I like it.
Yeah, I don't like pajamas. They don't fit right. They catch on fire. Like, I don't like the labels.
What is that about? Like, hey, we're going to put something in that's, like, literally going to char your children.
Right. And they're like, well, we'll just slap this sticker on it. And then they know. And then it's on them if they want to buy their kids cute pajamas.
Or they're like, this has to fit just right or they're going to explode.
This is Emily Thomas, and you're listening to the Struggle Well Project podcast. Do I say podcast after that? This is all so weird.
Welcome back, ladies. You are listening to The Struggle Well Project, the show dedicated to helping you not run away from home. Each week, I do my best to make sure you learn something new, laugh a whole lot, and remember, ladies, you are already enough. Last Monday, Jessica Honegger and I talked about going scared and what it looks like practically to have imperfect courage. You don't want to miss that, so make sure to circle back and tune in if you haven't yet. I'm confident that you're subscribed to the show, but if you aren't, fix that. This is episode 148, and my guest this week is Jessica Connolly. As always, though, at the top of this show, you heard my sister and I really struggling through some of life's problems, like pajamas that catch on fire, and why is that allowed to be a thing? We usually don't get very far when we're struggling through these problems, but that doesn't stop us. If you want to hear more of that and have a chance to be interviewed by us, we don't exactly know what that's going to look like yet, but we don't even know what it's going to look like when we talk to ourselves, so it's all up in the air. But if you want more Struggling Sisters action in your life, head to patreon.com/strugglewellproject, and you can enjoy content that is exclusively made for you guys. Thank you for the almost 200 of you who already support us. I very literally could not continue to pay the cost of the show without your help, so thank you. All right, it's review of the week time. Reviewing the show is so easy. It takes just a second, and your words really encourage my heart. This week, Mommy Kaboom said, "Thank you for making me smile and laugh out loud while I'm driving or exercising. Thanks for helping me to learn to struggle well." Well, listen, Mommy Kaboom, I'm just glad you're exercising. That makes me feel like somehow I'm exercising. So my guest this week is Jess Connolly. I asked her to come on the show because she is a passionate woman who is a gifted teacher, and I wanted you to know about her if you haven't heard about her already. We talked about her church planting journey with her husband, the pluses and minuses of having a very intense personality, what that means for her friendships and what it means for her parenting, and also, of course, we talked about the Kardashians. And Jess had a very interesting perspective, which I really appreciated. You're going to want to hear this. Let's jump right in. Hey, Jess, how are you this morning?
So good. So good. Thanks for having me.
Yes. So, all right. Tell us about yourself. I'm sure that most people know, but just tell us something new, even if you can think of it.
Okay. I'm Jess Connolly. I live in Charleston, South Carolina with my husband and my four wild children. They're really loud and really fun. And my husband and I lead a church here in Charleston, South Carolina called Bright City Church.
Okay.
And that takes up most of our life. That's like, you know, what we do with our lives. But I also run a small business here called All Good Things Collective. And I've been an internetter for, that's what I call it. I've been an internetter for the last 5 or 6 years, meaning like I make money online. I do ministry online.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time online. I'm your weird friend who's always on Instagram. And I love it. I love the internet. I love how God's using it in this season right now. So
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm an 8 on the Enneagram. We've already talked about the Enneagram already this morning, but yeah, I'm an 8 on the Enneagram. And I most of the time love being an 8, except for when I get really tired of myself.
You get tired of yourself?
Oh yeah.
What is tiring about being an 8?
I get tired. I mean, you know, the basic desire of an 8 is to control, to reform.
Yeah.
Not to reform, that's like the word for once, but you know, to control, to fix, to make better, to advance. And so there are just
and you
days
do a lot
I
of protecting, right?
I do. I mean, I think the situation of my life is that God has really made me have to. I mean, a lot of eights probably do a lot of protecting, but my life kind of has dictated that I don't get to do that. I mean, as a, like an online person and as a church leader, if I was about protecting myself, I'd be pretty scary.
But like other people, like from what I understand, y'all are really for the underdog. You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, I think it's interesting. I might be more of the like, I think what I am always working towards is like the feel, the temperature. Okay. So I probably would say I fight less for the underdog and I fight more for like the light invading the dark. That's a very feely way to put it. But yeah, I just wish I didn't notice broken things so much. I'm an 8 on the Enneagram and on the, my favorite like personality testing is the 5-fold giftings.
Oh, I don't know about it.
Oh, it's my favorite. It's from Ephesians 4, that like everyone is either a prophet, apostle, pastor, evangelist, or I can never remember the one I'm not.
The fifth one. Yeah.
Teacher. Yes.
You would say you're not a teacher?
No, I'm not a teacher, even though my vocation is like Bible teaching, but I am 100% a prophet. So that's how I teach the Bible, is like as a prophet. And so prophets and teachers teach very differently, and prophets and teachers and evangelists teach very different. And so do pastors. But yeah, so I'm a prophet plus an 8, which means I just basically see what's wrong all the time. And I'm trying to fix it all the time.
Okay. And I do that as a 1 as well. The things that are wrong jump out at me, and that makes it very difficult to calm the heck down sometimes.
And what I find is different between 1s and 8s is 1s, right? You want, like, you want to be right. You specifically, like, you don't want to be wrong. I used to think my husband was a 5, and we just figured out he's definitely a 1. So it's like, he doesn't want to be wrong. He wants to do it the right way.
Yeah. Cause you don't want to be perceived as wrong. It's less about wanting to be right and more about like not wanting to have done it wrong. That feels very different.
Yes. It's so different. And 8s want everybody else to do it right. I mean, I definitely want to do it right myself, but probably more than I want to do it right, I want you to do it right. So that gets tiring. We were at church yesterday and I had like a really powerful service. My husband and I lead together. So he is a teacher and can teach really well. And he has like the heart of a pastor. So he had just taught a sermon, but he invites me to function as a prophet on our Sunday morning. So he'll not when I say prophet, I don't mean like see the future prophet. I just mean like perceive what's going on in our service. Like what still needs to be said? What are people responding to? So pretty much every Sunday he'll ask me to like, you know, open and close his sermon, kind of prep if he's preaching, prep people for him, that type of thing. So afterwards, I literally just started screaming at one point. Like I was just screaming at the top of my lungs.
Tell me why. Unpack that, please.
His sermon was about I literally actually just posted on Instagram, so when people are listening to this later, they can go read my post about it from a few weeks ago or however long it'll take. And so his sermon was basically on a faith that fights and how this is how we can like step into a faith that fights for other people, for our world, you know, this is what we're gonna need. So this is unpacking this as a true prophet. So as a true prophet, I felt it first myself. Like I felt the problem first within myself in that morning before the sermon, I had been praying and been saying to the Lord, like, I do not want to fight anymore. I am very tired. Mm. I would like to quit. This is the fight of my life. And I feel like my family is in the fight of our life right now. And I am tired and I don't want to do it anymore. So I've been saying that. And so as a true prophet, as my husband was preaching, I felt like I had to repent first and say, this is not the fight of my life. This isn't me just getting started. This is the warm up. This is a momentary trial that's going to prepare me for harder trials and sweeter fruit in the future. So I kind of got up and started saying that, but then it turned into me literally screaming at the top of my lungs, like, this is not the fight of our lives. We're going to do more. We're going to plant more churches. We're going to help more lost. We're going to heal more people who are sick, like just screaming. And then I got done. I was like, man, you always have to scream, don't you? Like, that's such an 8 thing. But like, it just took over. 8s are very physical. Like they're very in their body. When I get mad, I get like physically mad. I was like, you just always got to scream, don't you? You so can't funny. Be the quiet one, can you?
My daughter's an 8 and she, yes. So much yelling.
Yeah.
And I'm like, a 1, this is not appropriate. I need you to stop.
Yeah. So sometimes I just wish I was like a 2, like just real sweet, like wanted to help people, or like a 6, like a really loyal, good friend who could just always show up, you know.
I know.
So but funny. Mostly I love being an 8.
Okay. I love it. All right. So you said that one of the things that has been tricky for you, like you just said, feeling like you're in the fight of your life and you understand that there's this is kind of just prep, but tell me about church planning and how that's been for you, because you said it's been pretty hard.
Yeah, it's been tough.
How long has this been? A couple years.
We're 5 years in. So, okay. I mean, our church is 4.5 years old. Nick and I have been in Charleston 5 years intentionally here to plant a church. This is our first solo church plant. It's the first time just my husband and I planted a church. We've been a part of church plants for the last 15 years. I've been in leadership and pastored other church plants, but this is just our first like solo run together.
Yeah. Did you have a team in place before you went?
We had a really small team. So we moved here with 4 people, and my entire family lives in Charleston, but they all work. They're all on staff at the like local mega church that's about 15 minutes away from us. So okay. It's a really interesting dynamic. Like, we know a lot of people, we have a lot of Charleston people, but we came here, you know, with about 4 people.
Ladies, it is hot outside. It's really important that when we're running around busy, doing stuff with our kids, watching them do another handstand in the pool, we got to make sure that we're hydrated and they're hydrated. Sometimes water is a little boring, no offense, water, but Liquid IV is not. It delivers hydration into your bloodstream faster and more efficiently than water alone. I don't know why, because science, I guess. It can provide the same hydration as drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water, and it contains more vitamin C than an orange, more potassium than a banana. My goodness. Liquid IV will donate a serving to people in need of hydration for every order placed. It's great for kids' lunchboxes, traveling. It's just all around great product, and it tastes very, very good. I love Liquid IV, and I know that you will too. Right now, my listeners will get 20% off at liquidiv.com when you use my code STRUGGLE. That's 20% off of anything you order on Liquid IV's website. Go to liquid-iv.com and enter my promo code STRUGGLE to get your savings and start getting better hydration. That's liquid-iv.com, promo code STRUGGLE. Don't wait. Get hydrated today. How did you know that it wasn't just something to join the mega church and like do your own thing within that?
That's such a good question. And I'll try to give the shortest answer. I think a few different things. I mean, I think actually my publisher just had me write an article like, should we still plant churches? Like, what are the good reasons to plant churches? And so I was kind of thinking through like, right, why should we plant churches? I think for us, Nick and I are actually really comfortable inside a mega church. I mean, we love a mega church. Like, we could very easily go to a mega church. I think our unique giftings probably wouldn't lend well to us serving and leading inside of a mega church.
Okay.
Nick just is an apostle. That's his fivefold gifting. So like, he did have like a really specific vision for a church.
Okay.
And so at some point, you know, you pastor in so many churches, you lead in so many churches where, you know, like the most faithful thing you can do is go do your own vision, because it's hard to be faithful to like what God's called you to underneath someone else's vision.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I think who we are and how we lead is very relational. It's incredibly relational. We knew for us, church planting would look very slow. It would look very familial. Mm-hmm. We didn't plant big. We didn't plant with a ton of money. We didn't plant with 3 services. We're 4.5 years in, and still like a very big Sunday for us is about 150 adults.
Okay.
So we knew we had like a very slow path to planting. Also, really specifically, we felt really specifically called to this downtown Charleston area, to the people who actually live here. And we noticed that there weren't a ton of churches specifically ministering to people who lived here,
okay,
who lived in our neighborhood. So yeah, that's the like shortest answer I can give to like what could be a really long answer.
Yeah. Okay. So when it gets really hard and you're like, oh my gosh, this is in some ways the worst. I mean, I know there's just parts where it just feels dry and like, oh, how do you know you're supposed to keep going? Because I think that applies to all of us in some capacity when we get into like the dry places.
Absolutely. I think we've got to know. I think what helps us the most is knowing what our win is and knowing what our goals are. And so usually we find that what discourages us most is not that we're not meeting the actual goals that we've set, but that we're not meeting goals that like society or the community we're in would set for us.
Okay.
So if for us, the main win is that we want to help people take steps towards abundant life. That's all it is for us. We want to help people take steps towards abundant life by encouraging them to see the light of Christ, to be the light of Christ, and to shine the light of Christ. And so I think on the most discouraging days, what we're really discouraged about is that we're not hitting other things. We're not hitting other goals.
Yeah.
And we have to go back to say, like, number one, are we being obedient? Like, sometimes the answer is we're discouraged because we're not being obedient. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's real. Like, it's less defeat and it's more like, I feel convicted because we've gotten off path. We've like stopped fighting for what we're supposed to fight for.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, I think we have to go back to like, are people experiencing more abundant life? Okay, they are. It might be really small. It might be really private. It might be like the smallest fruit ever. Like so-and-so stopped doing drugs or like so-and-so has been sober for 3 days or like this marriage was falling apart in our church and the husband came back home. It may not look shiny and tidy. It might not look like 50 baptisms and people getting saved. It may look really private and small, but like, are we doing what God calls us to do? Then okay, then let's keep going.
But those things are like everything to those people.
Everything. And so I think we kind of have to shake our heads. I think that's the hardest part about church planting right now in our current context is that there's just a lot of hype about like what other churches are doing. And we have to be the most ferocious to kind of fight to say like, we will not get sidetracked by this or that.
What helps you not get sidetracked? Because there's a wisdom in research and seeing what's working and you know what I mean? But then how do you keep your head down and focus in?
Yeah. What helps us not get sidetracked? I'm a big believer in, you know, let's just say if it's like looking to the left or the right, I'm a big believer in listening to the Holy Spirit and knowing what's the right thing for right now. You know, there's like a big contingency of like, if you're struggling with comparison, this is for moms, this is for like single women, this is for people in ministry, don't look online, don't look at Instagram, you know, just delete it from your phone. And I would say like, I'm for a long time, for a few years, I was a big proponent of like, I think that plan stinks. Okay. I think that if we can't see somebody else's fruit and be blessed for them, like we aren't winning. And I think there's a lot of like really worshipful victory and looking dead at somebody else's fruit and saying, I am so happy for you. And like even taking it a step further, like I can see how your unique gifting and like talent and the favor God's given you has gotten you there. Instead of being like, I know that could have happened to me too. It just didn't. Or like, obviously she sold out. But like looking dead at them and saying like, of course this would happen to you. I am so glad for you. And I'm so blessed. And the kingdom's a better place. And the world is better off with you winning, you know?
Because that is a kingdom mindset because you're 100%. Having to get past your own insecurities or desires or whatever.
100%. But in the last few years, I've also like said like, you know what? And sometimes I have to know that I cannot trust other people's voices to be honest about what they're struggling with enough to like really listen to them. And so sometimes like if somebody's life or somebody's ministry or somebody's motherhood seems too bright and shiny to believe, maybe I shouldn't be listening.
Yeah, I agree. It's funny once you like get into the world of like all the writers and all the women's ministry stuff and you don't want to be cynical, but you also go, yeah, you're not. Walking the talk, and that's
right.
It gets a little gross.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Complicated. It's complicated.
Yeah.
That's our Facebook status.
So I just think both. I mean, I think the Holy Spirit will tell us like, this is a time to go dark. This is a time to not look to the left or the right.
Yeah.
Or like, hey, you look them full on in the face and say, like, I'm so happy for you.
So good. I like how Lisa Keaton talks about like, get under their pinata. You know, like when things are raining down good things, just get under and be like, yay. Oh, you know, I'm sure I'm saying it wrong, but just partying with them is the idea.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So you mentioned struggling in motherhood. You sometimes tend to be too intense as an eight. I totally get that. Or like too intentional. You just want to, I don't know, explain what that looks like. I'm trying to like get a picture of your house.
Yeah. So the very eightness of me with a prophet is like, let's say one of my kids is like being obnoxious. What I feel like is that like a normal mom who's not an eight might be like, hey, don't be so obnoxious. Or like, can you go to the other room? Or like maybe not even notice like they're being obnoxious. I mean, I don't know if you've ever feel this. I feel like I'm with moms all the time and I'm like, you don't even notice your kid is being so obnoxious.
Right.
But I will like in the middle of everyone look at one of my kids and be like, why are you being obnoxious? Do you need attention right now? Are you hiding something from me? Did I not give you something you need? like, do you need scripture? Are you fighting for God's approval over your life right now? Just tell me, like, and I have to be like, oh my gosh, chill out. What's wrong with me? Actually, one of my kids yesterday, we've had friends in town over the weekend. It's been just fun. And so we've probably been like a little less intentional with our kids than we normally are, but we've had fun with our kids. They've been with us all weekend. Like, you know, we've had good times with them. And last night I was like saying goodnight to my kids. I can't even say putting them in bed anymore because that's not what that looks like. But I was just kind of like walking through my 11-year-old's room and said, like, you doing good? You know, good night. And he said, hey, are you mad at me? Hmm. And I was like, no, babe, I'm not mad at you. He was like, okay, I guess I feel like you haven't like talked to me a ton today. I was like, I have literally talked to you all day. Like, I mean, I've genuinely talked to this particular kid all day. Like, cuddled with him, sat with him, asked him how he was doing. And I was like, do you think I'm mad at you because I haven't like poked you?
You
like
haven't been in
hours?
Trouble? Yeah.
Yes. Because I literally haven't said like, how's your soul? Or, you know, like, what are you worried about? These are things I ask my kids like on the reg. Like, what's, you know, what heavy burdens are you carrying right now? Yeah. And he's 11. So it's not like he's like, please let me tell you the deep, dark desires of my heart. Usually he's like, I'm nothing, mom. I'm fine. It's fine. Go away. Mm. But because I hadn't done it, I guess, for like 6 hours, he was like, are you mad at me?
That's so funny. You know, they still love it. Even if they act like, oh my gosh.
100%.
There's still something. Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
That's funny. Okay. So you said that something that surprised you is that your kids are like your family, not just like your kids. So tell me what that means, because sometimes I see moms who are like BFFs with their kids in a way that's not necessarily great for the kids. Like, the kids need the structure. Yeah. So tell me how that looks in your house.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm really cautious. Like, even when I said that, I feel like I'm really cautious. Like, I have started to say sometimes, I mean, and I will tell people, like, there are days when I realize, oh, my kids are my friends. Mm-hmm. And that's not like the best word. It's not because I am still the mom. Like, there is a very real authority structure in our relationship, and that's good and healthy and right. Yeah. And they're not my friends in that, like, I don't emotionally depend on them.
Right.
That would not be healthy. You know, mm-hmm. My kids cannot offend me. They should not be able to offend me. You know, if they don't check in on me, I shouldn't feel disappointed.
Mm. I need you to be there for me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. So it's like, you know, I don't expect them to pray for me. I can't use the word friend, but I would say, like, I forgot that they would be my family. Mm. And by that, I mean, like, they are a safe place. We're at this place where, like, kids used to feel like the work, and getting away from the kids felt like the release. So even when my kids were little and I started to work and do some things outside of the house, or I remember feeling like, whew, like when I would go to work would feel like the release, you know? Mm. And now we're just in a season where my kids like are my family. Like, we can have a really hard day at church, and right, they're not checking in on me. They're not praying for me. They're not saying like, how can we help you guys? Mm-hmm. But going to the ball field with my kids, it does feel like a release from ministry, and it does feel like a release from work for a moment.
That's good.
They have started to feel like family. They've started to feel like home. And I have to preface this with, like, I'm not a mom. I didn't dream of being a mom. I'm a very much like an accidental mom. Okay. Thought maybe I'd have kids when I was 30. I got married really young. I got married when I was 20. And so I thought, like, maybe I'll have kids when I'm 30. We said, like, maybe one, maybe two. We got pregnant 8 months into marriage with our first. Our first was 4 months old when we got pregnant again.
Wow.
When our second was 4 months old, we went to the doctor and said, like, hey, we obviously don't understand birth control. Can you help us make sure we never get
are
pregnant
confusing.
Again?
Yeah.
And they said, you left a pee sample when you came in and you're already pregnant again.
Oh,
so my first three are like three under three, really three, two and under. They were two, one and zero, and then one, two and three. And now my oldest are 9, 10 and 11. And so, yeah, all that to say, like, they just really have become a fun, lighter place for me to be.
That's good.
And that's been really surprising and helpful.
What has church planting done for them, do you think?
Well, it's probably messed them up a lot. Let's be honest.
Hey.
No, I think it's definitely made them see the difference between light and dark. I'll tell you that. I think that my kids are exposed to a lot of dark. We do not hide the dark from them. they are in public school. We are in a like inner city downtown neighborhood situation. But I think constantly bringing them into the light of church and even letting them see some of the darker sides of church. I think it's just helped them see both. I think for a long time, I thought that the point of parenting was like to hide the dark from your kids and only expose them to the light. And then I realized like they've got to perceive both. They've got to perceive how dark dark is. And they've got to know how powerful light is. And they've got to know that there's a lot of like dark things in the light. So I think, yeah, I think if anything, I would say like I can see like the palpable relief they feel when we're in the light. And I think it's made them crave that. And I'm grateful for that.
Okay, so back to school, it can be super great, but it can also be a little stressful. At least at my house, dinner time comes and I am not prepared for it. That is why I love using PrepDish. I let PrepDish do the planning for me. I don't even have to think about the meals. Every week I get an email full of healthy meals. My grocery list is already planned out and the instructions for prepping are right there in the order that I need to do it. And after a couple hours in the kitchen on Sunday, I have all my meals ready for the entire week. This week I made banana bread granola. You guys, I can't, every morning I'm so excited to get in there and eat that granola. It's delicious. Put some blueberries and bananas on top. Forget about it. So Allison, the founder, is offering listeners of this podcast a free 2-week trial to try it out. You cannot beat that. So check out prepdish.com/MSW for this amazing deal. Again, that's prepdish.com/MSW for your first 2 weeks for free. This is a no-brainer. Hiring used to be hard. There was multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter.com/MSW. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply for your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of the employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. With results like that, it's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest rated hiring site in America. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/MSW. That's ZipRecruiter.com/MSW. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Hey, since you're listening to this right now, you know your phone is by you. Go ahead and snap a picture, post it on Instagram or Facebook, tag me in it, and let me know what you're doing while you listen to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. I am always sharing my life with y'all. It's time for you to do the same. Did you like that guilt trip? I was trying to lay it on pretty thick. But really, I would love to see what you're up to when you listen to the show. So snap that selfie and tag Mom Struggling Well. Do you have any kids that are like a little more keeping to themselves and you have to kind of pull out? Because I just put my kids in public school and and sometimes it's very diverse. And I grew up in a very diverse school, but then they were in private school. And so then I got accustomed to types of conversations that I would overhear and things like that. And so now being in the public school, it's even though that's what I came from, I got unaccustomed to it. And I'm like, ooh, this is a lot of conversation. I'm hearing you say different things and act different ways. And I have kids who keep to themselves a lot. And so it's just hard to draw them out. And because I'm happy to talk about any crazy things that happen, but I can't always get to their hearts, I don't feel like. So do you have any of that? And how do you make sure you're processing that with them?
We do. I mean, we have some that are like approaching middle school and we are definitely, definitely in that stage of like things slipping out that like not only that I can tell that they like don't know how to process it when they hear it, but they don't know like how to process it with us. Like, can I talk to you about this? Can I say this?
Yeah.
I have a great friend, Rach Kincaid, who has teen boys. And so I feel like she prepped me for a lot of this.
Okay.
So she prepped me for a lot of like, hey, here's how you don't move your face when they say really shocking things. Okay. Like, or like, here's how you ask them the really shocking things first. Cause they're already hearing it. Like, it's going to feel like you're exposing them to like crazy, but like they're already hearing it. So here's how you like ask them and help them think through that stuff. But yeah, we've got a lot of that. I've been telling people too. I mean, like literally just about my 11-year-old, this really powerful new rhythm that him and I have where I noticed again, like, I don't put my kids to bed. They're, you know, he's 11, so he doesn't need to be tucked in. But if I go in his room and I just say, if I sit down in his bed and say, like, hey, how are you doing? How's your heart? Like, what can I pray for you about? He won't say much. He'll even say, I mean, he's 11. So he'll say, like, Mom, this is awkward. Please leave. And I'll say, like, okay, bye. But I noticed if I would go in and, like, do the laundry or, like, put his clothes up and just kind of be there for a minute, after about 5 or 6 minutes, he'd say, like, hey, can I ask you a question? And I'd say, yeah, bud, you can ask me anything. And then that would turn into, like, me sitting on the side of his bed, and I would ask him some questions back. And an hour and a half later, I'm, like, laying down beside him in bed, and I'm crying, and he's crying. We're having, like, the deepest life talk. But I couldn't walk in and just, like, sit down and say, like, so tell me, what are the kids in your class talking about? You know, I had to kind of, like, be there, be available, act like it was no big deal when he said something so crazy, you know?
I love that idea.
Yeah, it helps so much. Like, literally just, like, I'll just be in your room and put up laundry until you need to say something.
Okay. How do you do that with 4 kids? I only have 2, and I don't feel like I got time for all that heart sharing every day, which obviously doesn't happen every day, but what do you do with 4?
I definitely don't. Yeah. I think we gotta, like, just know it helps that, like, they don't all mean the same things. I mean, this is where it comes in wildly helpful that, like, our kids are so different because they're going to struggle with different things. Even mine that are so close together. I mean, I have 2 that are in the same class. That's how close they are together. Whoa. They're physically in the same class at school, which is so hilarious and fun. And really helpful for me because they just tell on each other.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, no, that's really good.
They hate it. They hate it.
So you got a spy.
I have a spy.
For both of them. That's so good.
Yeah. But, right, they're just, they have, like, different needs at different times. And I think, like, the squeakiest wheel gets the oil until you realize, like, the middle child is totally left out and you have to go give them all the love and attention for a minute.
I need you to squeak so that you can get the oil.
Yeah, exactly. So. Okay. I think we just acknowledge, like, there is literally not enough of us to go around. And you have 2, correct? Or 3?
Yeah, 2.
So I always say I feel like 2 is the hardest.
Okay.
I mean, in some ways, I genuinely feel like 1 is the hardest. Mm-hmm. And for me, the reason why is if I just had 1, I would be convinced that there was, like, enough in me to love them well, to, like, do them well, to, like, produce something good. Like, there's only 1 of you. There's 1 of me. Like, that, this should work.
We're an equal match.
I should be able to, like,
yeah.
Right. I should be able to, like, make you something good. I think 2 for me was like, okay, I still got this. Like, I still got this. I can love both of you. I can love both of you. There's just 2 of you. So I can, like, really think it through. But, like, there's 2 of you. So it's going to take some strategy. 3 just utterly broke me. And I was like, oh, I literally cannot do this. I am so outnumbered. Like, having 1/3 of a mom is not enough. Nobody wants 1/3 of a mom. And then some beautiful breaking happened with me at 4, where I was like, oh, I'm not enough. Great.
That's
awesome.
Good.
So I feel like if you can tap into that at 1, 2, and 3, like, I'm not enough. That's awesome. It is actually never going to be on me to produce, like, a good product in you. I say all the time, like, our family motto is, like, we really all just want to get across the finish line. I just want us to all get across the finish line, liking each other and, like, making the kingdom a better place.
Yeah.
But that's, like, all I can really hope for. You know, I don't ever say, like, I hope my kids are in ministry, or I hope they, like, lead a bunch of people to Jesus, or I hope they're successful humans. Like, I just really hope we all get across the finish line, like, still wanting to spend time together. And hopefully the world's a better place for it.
That's good. I love it. Yeah, because I do. I think I got this. Like, I'm good at organizing things, so I can figure out how to figure you out. And then when it's not working, I'm surprised. So, yeah.
No. Just give up.
Okay, good. I can do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you just wrote a book with Haley, and it's a devotional. It's your 2nd book that you've written together. So it's called Always Enough, Never Too Much. Mm-hmm. What, I mean, everyone can get it and read it and get their own takeaways from it. But what, as you wrote this book, was your biggest thing that God taught you?
I'm going to tell you what. I mean, I feel like it actually, like, really informed my next book. The biggest thing that God taught me, so this book is really topical. It's basically, it's 100 topics that we felt like women kept coming to us and saying, you know, our first book, Wild and Free, that we wrote together, the tagline of it was, when you feel like you're too much and never enough. And so this Devo, Always Enough, Never Too Much, is based on, like, 100 topics, really specific topics of times when women would like come to us and say like, okay, I hear you. I believe that we're like not too much and always enough, blah, blah. But how, like, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. What does that look like when everyone in my community thinks that I am too pushy about justice? Mm-hmm. What does that look like when I am really like the neediest of my friends? What does it look like to be always enough and never too much, even when I'm like chronically sick, or even when I'm depressed, or even when I have too many kids? You know, what does that look like when I feel pushy? What does it look like to be always enough, even when I'm quiet? And so we wrote really specifically to those topics.
Yeah.
And I would say what God taught me the most about that book is that by the power of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit living inside me, I do not have to wait on anyone to speak truth over me. And to write so specifically about such like topical things that I've struggled with myself, and they're so quick. So like on days when I would write this book, you know, I'd maybe write 5 or 6 devotionals in a day, to just like all of a sudden like myself perceive, wow, the Word of God really does speak to this, and I really get the opportunity to agree with it or disagree with it. And I can keep whining about all these things that I feel, or I can just believe some stinking truth and move on with my day, was so powerful. And like, I hope women are really encouraged by the devotionals, but mostly I hope that they're like, I knew that. I know this. Why did I have to read it? I could have said this to myself.
That's good. You know? Right. Yeah. We do. We just have to take it for our own, and yeah, we have to own it.
Yeah.
And not have to wait to get it spoon fed to us. But it just feels like, but maybe I'm not right. We second guess our even our own brains.
Yeah.
Finding a fragrance that you love is hard. At least it's hard for me. But there's a new company called Fleur that's changing all that. Fleur creates expertly crafted, sustainably produced perfumes without all the bad stuff, sold at honest prices. And the way you pick your scent is really fun and fascinating. Instead of testing a scent on a strip of paper or putting different ones all over your arms and hoping you can remember them all and tell them apart, you can get to know each of Fleur's scents with pictures, words, and music on their website. If you like what you hear and see, odds are you're going to like that scent. Then they send you 3 samples to try on your own skin, in your own time. It's a really fun experience. I chose 3 scents to try. I liked them all, but I especially liked one called Sandara. So go to Fleur.com today and use promo code MSW to get 20% off of a custom Fleur sample set. Pick 3 scents to try and get credit towards a full-size bottle of your favorite one. That's promo code MSW at Fleur.com to try 3 Fleur fragrances of your choice at 20% off. That's PHLUR.com. Okay, so I wanted to ask you about the Kardashians really quick.
Yes.
Since that's equally important, right, to a devotional. Who's your favorite?
Oh, that it means so much to me that you asked me that. I really don't have one. I like really love them all individually.
Okay. Who's the one? Who are you most similar to?
I mean, I really love Kim Kardashian. I like have a strong like love for Kim. I think maybe I love her the most because I feel like people hate her the most.
But I think she loves herself enough to make up for any.
Yeah, I have strong feelings for Kim. I have like a heart for Kylie. I mean, I genuinely pray for her. I'm going to LA in a few weeks, and I've genuinely considered like trying to find her house. I like have a heart for her. I think about her a lot.
Why?
I mean, she didn't choose this life, you know?
Yeah.
She didn't choose any of this. She was like born into this. I think out of all of them, like whatever contrary things it looks like of how she lives, I think I know her because I've watched the show religiously. I think she struggles a lot with the fame, and I think she'd like a quiet life. But I think, yeah, she didn't choose any of this.
All right. Have you taken the quiz to see which one you are the most similar to?
Oh, no, I haven't. I don't think I need to take the quiz. I'm pretty sure I know.
Who are you most similar to?
I mean, I think I'm the Kim of my friend group 110%.
I kind of see that.
Yeah.
I don't know that much about him, but.
So we have to preface this with, because people are going to listen to it and be like, oh, I know everybody hates the Kardashians. P.S. I don't think that's a biblical like viewpoint. So let's get that out of the way. Like, I don't think it's I don't think it's biblical to hate the Kardashians. I don't think you can hate them. Second of all, like, I need you to know they, like, actually love God. And everybody's next thing to that is, like, how can you love God and be so vapid? Like, how can you love God and post so many selfies? How can you love God and be so scandalous? How can you love God
so
and love
naked?
So,
so naked.
Okay, well, we all do, like, all of our sin is genuinely the same, and we all do it. And what's more is that they are just, like, very open about how much they love themselves. But, like, we all love ourselves that much.
That's honestly a good point. That's
we
good
really
point.
Do.
I don't like it, but it's a good point.
Everybody says it's about Kanye. Like, Kanye's a lunatic. He's so prideful. He thinks he's as good as God. He thinks he's a genius. But let me tell you, when you're fighting with your husband, you are thinking what Kanye thinks. When you get in a dumb spat with your husband about, like, what the lyrics to a song were or about who turned the oven off, what you are thinking is, you're an idiot and I'm a genius. You don't know anything.
That's true.
Kanye just says it.
He just says it. You're right.
He just says it. But he also, like, says very real things about his own brokenness, and he says very real things about God, and he says very real things about leadership, and he says very real things about pain, and I think he's probably definitely on drugs. I don't know.
Well, did you hear his last single? That had some interesting.
Yeah.
Had an interesting ending.
Mm-hmm. Poopity Scoop, is that what you're referencing?
Poop. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's
but so in general, like, I just would say, like, I think there are a lot of really redeeming things about them. And I think, like, they're very telling about what's happening in our culture right now. And I think we can say, like, oh, they're very telling about what's happening in our culture right now. I hate it. It's the worst. Or we can be like, that's us. That's me too. Like, I'm not posting naked selfies. No, but, like, in a lot of ways, emotionally, I am.
But isn't that helpful? Like, when you say yours are, like, for ministry purposes?
Totally. But, like, is there some part in me that, like, really wants people to approve of me and say I'm okay? Yes. And right. I genuinely don't believe anyone else who says that's not true for them. And right. even people who are like, I'm not online. Ha ha ha. Got you. I don't post on Instagram. Like, yes, you do. You just do it at a coffee date with your friend. Like, so you just give the best version of yourself at a coffee date with a friend and hope that they approve of you too. Like, we're all the same. Like, we really all struggle with the same. Like, why not, like, want massive redemption for them? Like, I'm telling you, like, they read the word. Some of them, like, read devotionals. They go to church. Like, why not want, like, freedom and hope and joy? And when Kanye repents and when he, like, worships God openly, and I'm saying it like it's going to be because I want it to be, when Kylie starts clothing herself and saying, like, oh my gosh, my body is the temple of God. I don't want to dress like this anymore. I don't want to be like Jonah. Like, I don't want to be sitting under the tree pissed that everybody repented. And I want to be the one saying, like, that's right. I was praying the whole time that you would experience more of God's freedom and abundance and glory over your life. So
I love that.
I want to say all that about the Kardashians. Maybe I am, like, massively for the underdog. And honestly, like, is there a bigger underdog in America right now? I don't know. I know that there are people who are suffering. But, I mean, we love to hate the Kardashians, and we love to believe that that hating them is justified and even righteous, but it's not.
Okay. You've made some very solid points, and I do appreciate, no, for reals, I appreciate that. I have a question, though, just from a one's perspective of, like, pop culture in general. Like, I'm going to be talking to the podcast Knox and Jamie here pretty soon, and I just, from an appropriate standpoint, I want to fill my mind with things that are true.
100%.
I do not want to be in a bubble and become irrelevant to the culture. It hurts my feelings. The culture makes me overwhelmed. So how do you practically, because you seem like you're fine with it, be in the world and not of it? Because I like peek into the world and go, oh my gosh, that hurts my feelings.
Yeah. I mean, I want to really explore that phrase, like, it hurts your feelings.
I have a lot of feelings.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've got to, like, love the light so much that we're not scared of the dark and we're not offended by it.
That's good.
So I'll say that. But on the other hand, like, I love the Kardashians. I can only follow, like, one of them on Instagram because I hit a point, like, just body image wise, like, a few months ago where I'm like, fighting the enemy, like, body image wise in my own life. And then I felt like Blair was like, so how is it helping you to look at these half naked women all the time?
Making perfume bottles.
Who do not have realistic bodies, you know?
Yeah.
So I love the Kardashians. I don't follow them on Instagram because I like can't expose myself to that, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know why, for whatever reason, it's, like, not as bad on their show. I mean, you know, mostly because it's, like, a little more real and,
okay. Yeah.
But no, I mean, I think we got to know, like, what's pulling us down. But yeah, I think I think it all comes back to like, how much do we trust the light? Hmm. Like, how much do we trust that like the kingdom is going to win? And so like, we just don't have to be scared.
That's true.
And yeah. Not that I'm saying I don't get that. Like I totally do. Like the subway in big cities makes me want to like, you know, rock in the corner a little bit.
That's funny. Isn't it funny the things, because that kind of stuff I'm like so totally fine with. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's interesting.
Okay. It is. That's all I can think about that. You've given me a lot to think about.
Thanks for letting me talk about the Kardashians.
Oh,
sometimes people will say like, I know you like the Kardashians. Like, can you explain why? And I'm like, do you have 40 minutes? Because when I start talking about it, I kind of can't stop. I'm so sorry.
Well, I recently did a deep dive with my sister, who she's like, hey, let's talk about this on the show. And at first I'm like, ugh. But then I was fascinated. I really did learn a lot. I just still...
Yeah.
Because, again, what I don't mean to talk about the personality thing so much, but ones tend to be really black and white. And so when I see something that I'm like, well, I don't think we need to make a naked perfume bottle of ourselves and put a bunch of pictures online about that. No offense, Kim. So then I go... Yeah. They're all dead to me. Do you know what I'm saying? Because black right. and white. So anyway, I could do with a lot more gray in my life. So anyway.
Okay.
So I want to finish this with a lightning round. You will get 0 points for this. But so I just still want it to be a lightning round. I don't even know why. Okay. So I'm going to ask you 5 questions. I want you to answer as fast as you can.
Okay.
None of them are about the Kardashians. I'm so sorry.
It's all right.
Number one, you must change your name. What would you change it to and why? I can edit out all the long silence.
Just the first name?
Just the first name, sure.
Jack. I've always wanted to go by Jack.
What? Okay. Why?
My initials are JAC, Jessica Ashley Connolly, and I've just always wanted to go by Jack. Like, I wish people... I tried to make it happen for a while after I got married, but nobody would go with it.
I love it. Cute. All right. The dumbest way that you've been injured?
My daughter was pushing me in a rocking chair. And pushed me too hard onto like an antique lamp and it broke on my face. And I ended up having to have plastic surgery. It like really messed me up.
No. Where did your face get broken?
Right underneath my eye. I have a pretty visible scar. If you look, you can see it.
Really?
The lamp hit me at like an exact angle that it took a large chunk out of like my under eye area that was like a triangle shaped.
That's so tender under there. Oh
my. Yes. God. And so you can't just like sew it closed. You can't just like stitch it closed because then my eye would have been like gaping open and I would have had like dry eye and all the crazy things.
Oh,
so I had to have like full blown plastic surgery on my face. It was very embarrassing.
Did you have to pay for the lamp? Were you at a store?
No, it was my mom's lamp.
So oh, okay. Gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. When did that happen?
That happened, in 2010.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah. You can go back and look at my Instagram. It's all there.
My
whole journey.
Okay. What did they use to, did they take skin from somewhere else?
I'm going to tell you the grossest, strangest thing.
Okay.
When they got in for the surgery, they found it like inside my face. They found the skin had been like the like glass shard of the lamp had like pushed it down into my jaw. So they just used my old skin.
Jaw.
Yes,
that's disgusting.
It's pretty gross.
Okay. And I'm a nurse. It takes a lot to be disgusting, but that's disgusting. Yeah. So they had to like dig out shards of glass out of your face.
Oh, yeah. It was a whole thing. It was really disturbing.
Okay. Did your daughter feel so bad?
She was really young, but she still talks about it. And I have pretty like genuine like PTSD is too strong of a word. But I have like really strong triggers around her pushing me or being in any kind of swing situation.
Yes.
Makes me like very nauseous and anxious. And so she know, like, I don't like her to stand behind me at all. Like genuinely, it was pretty traumatic.
Oh, girl. That's so hard. Okay.
Yeah. She doesn't feel bad. She laughs about it. She's like, haha, what, I broke your face.
Get over it.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the most useless talent that you have?
I remember everything.
Okay.
I remember everything. I remember what I've worn like every day of my life. I can like recall conversations from 10 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So then how does that affect your relationships?
Horrible. It's so hard for everyone who's in my life. They really wish my husband calls me a human post-it note.
Man, did that help you in school?
No, I'm horrible is I'm not book smart in the slightest. So I have not been able to like harness that power for like learning. So for example, I can read a book. I remember like emotions, feelings, colors, senses.
Okay.
Like outfits. I can't remember outfits to save my life. Yeah. I say all the time, like, I read the Bible every single day because my ability to retain knowledge is so bad. Like, I forget.
Okay. But relationally,
feelings, senses. Yeah.
That's fascinating. So you need like some kind of really emotional Bible reading.
Yeah.
Communication.
Yeah. I mean, I remember like the story and narrative of the Bible. So that really helps me. I can remember like that thing Jesus said, I just could not tell you what book of the Bible it is.
I get
to
it.
Save my life.
That makes sense. Yeah. Huh. That's so cool. Okay. Would you rather be transported 500 years into the future or 500 years into the past?
Future 110%.
Why?
I think the world really was hard 500 years ago. I do not want to go backwards.
Okay. See, that's funny because I want to go back because I'm like, I don't know what's going to be like in the future. I swear. That's I paint funny. Myself as such a baby. I'm really not a baby.
You're not a baby. You're tough.
Okay. And finally, what is something that you just can't stop talking about?
Okay. You prepped me for this question and I gave a very weird Jesus-y answer, but I can't get enough of it. And so I'm just going to say it.
Go for it.
Praying on my actual knees.
Talk to me about that. Being like almost 40, that makes my knees hurt thinking about it.
I don't know why. Okay. I think I've always had this sense of like, oh man, you know, those like passionate people who are like praying on their knees all the time. I've always kind of like, I don't know why. I've had this sense of like, oh, that's people who are really powerful. Okay. And somewhere like a month ago, the Lord was like, hey, just get on your knees.
Hmm.
Like, just get on your knees. But for whatever reason in the past month, I'm not super bendy or flexible or like have great knees. So that's worth sharing.
Okay.
Sometimes it's less of like on my knees and more just like a really low squat.
Okay. Close enough, I think.
Yeah. I just have like found all this spiritual physical connection in for example, like if I get on my knees to pray, I do not fall asleep. I'll tell you that right now.
Okay.
Or yeah. I don't like doze off or I don't like think about something else. I'm like, oh, we are doing business here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And so because I'm an 8, because I think about how things feel, because I think about the temperature, because I'm a leader, I also just noticed the massive like power and energy when I'm praying in a group and one or a handful of us get on our knees.
Mm.
It's like we are not like passively sitting by and like talking to some unseen God. Like we are now engaged in doing business. And so I'm just right now hilariously obsessed with praying on my knees.
I think that's really neat because it really does take it to another level, I think.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. Well, Jess, thank you for sharing your heart with us. It's been really fun.
Thank you. I mean, we really covered the gamut today.
I really feel like we've done some good work here.
Motherhood, Kardashians, praying on our knees. Like, we did business.
We sure did. Yeah. It's been so fun. Thank you.
Thanks for chatting
with me today. You have a good rest of your day.
You too. Have a good one.
Okay, so there's a lot to think about there. What will your strategy be to struggle well based on what Jess said? We did talk about the Enneagram. Most people have heard about the Enneagram, but some people I still talk to and they have never heard about it before. It is not witchcraft. It is not scary. It is a really great way to understand the motivations of people in your life, even to understand your own motivations. Some of us are not in touch with that and we cannot figure it out. It has helped me so much understand my husband and understand my daughter and understand myself. A couple weeks back, Beth McCord was on and she has a website called yourenneagramcoach.com and she talks about the Enneagram through a biblical worldview and it's really encouraging. I love it. So maybe you think about that. Maybe if you were trying to get an adolescent in your life to come out of their shell, maybe you do what Jess said and just kind of go in their area and fold laundry or just do something and see if they don't just make an appearance and you can know what's going on in their heart. In an effort to attach well to my kids, I've been learning the difference between bonding and attachment. Bonding is really practically meeting their needs, feeding them, making sure that they're taking showers, washing their clothes, driving them places. But the detachment is more the unstructured, not planned out, not controlled free time. What happens during that time? And that's the stuff that makes me a little more uncomfortable because it could go poorly. I know, I'm letting you into a little bit of my crazy, but I desperately want to attach well to my kids and for them to attach to me and to know that home is a place that is cozy and warm and more than just having our basic needs met. We're loved here. And my kids know I love them, but I could always do better at attaching more, especially because my kids are adopted. So what I've been doing is just, after they come home from school, sitting on the couch. I'm not sitting with my phone, not sitting with my computer, not sitting with the book, my planner. Just sitting. I don't even tell them I'm going there to sit there, but then they all come around and we have a really great conversation, but it takes me being intentional about that time because I don't naturally gravitate towards just hanging out with nothing to do. So that kind of reminded me of what Jess said about getting the adolescents to come out of their shells, just kind of loitering in their space and seeing what happens. Maybe this week you struggle well by thinking that the people who are just kind of annoying to you and you can't really exactly see what the point is of them, come on. You think it, you just wouldn't say it out loud. But the people that just are completely confusing to you, some of it, you would never probably say this, but they feel like they're beyond ever getting better. They feel it beyond hope. They're never gonna change. Maybe you pray for them and realize that's actually not truth that you're telling yourself. It really was convicting to me the way Jess was talking about the Kardashians. Like, she loves them. Where the rest of us, I think, tend to think of them as just, I don't know, what are you doing? What do you contribute? Or we like to judge them, or we like to wish that we were like them. I mean, we come at it from all different perspectives. But the fact of the matter is, if we are Christ followers, and if the Holy Spirit lives in us, we have access to every power in the universe because God gave it to us. What if we were to use that power for good and quit giving people the side eye? Let's try that this week. Feel like it would end well. Just a reminder, if you got something great out of this episode, don't keep it to yourself. Hit share and send it along to a friend who needs this message. They will be glad that you did. So the same time next week, I'll be talking with my friend Christelle about what it's like when God opens a door for you to move away from a place that you really love. She was also raised by some pretty hardcore immigrants who sound fantastic. So we talk about all the things that the rest of us need to know about immigrants. Really love that conversation. So make sure to come back next week. So it's time to drag my sister back to talk about an item that someone in this honorable community purchased on the Amazon affiliate link. That link, in case you don't have it, is amazon.com/shop/strugglewellproject. Using this link when you shop on Amazon is a completely free and totally simple way for you to get Amazon to kick some change from your purchase towards your favorite podcast, which I know is this one. I can't see who purchased what, so buy all the crazy weird things you want, and it will certainly make this part of the show a lot more interesting. So what did you find with the Amazon affiliate link this week?
This time I found gluten-free Lara bars, which are my fave.
You like them?
Oh, like every day, and I shouldn't eat as many as I do. I mean, I only eat one. I promise, I only eat one, but I pretty much eat them every day.
Well, why do you think you shouldn't eat them every day?
Well, when you're doing Whole30 or Whole30-ish, as I like to call it, they hate steer clear.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, because it's basically as close to a candy bar as you can get.
There's nothing candy bar-ish about it.
It's true. Do you like them?
They're not my favorite.
Oh, I like them. So what's they your have favorite? A new one. Okay. It's new. It's coconut chocolate chew. So it's not coconut chocolate chip because those ones have chocolate chips, which have sugar in them. So I can never do any of the chocolate chip ones. But this one is coconut chocolate chew and there's cocoa in it and not cocoa plus sugar. It's really yummy.
Okay.
Love it. So this, somebody on Amazon bought the coconut chocolate chip Lara bar and subject is mold.
Oh.
Yeah. Tastes great when they come unopened.
Oh, no.
Right. So it's a manufacturer issue, but that's so sick. That would put a stop to my Lara bar problem right away.
Ew.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Me too. All apologies.
Just apologies all around. Apologies on the house. Let me pray for us. Lord, I thank you that the ways we are, our quirky personalities, the things that get us really fired up, the things we couldn't care less about, the things we're naturally very good at, none of that's on accident. All of it's on purpose. You are a masterful designer, and we are your workmanship. So Lord, I lift up all these ladies, all the parts of ourselves that drive us nuts. Those immediately come out to the surface when we think about who we are as people. Maybe it's just me, but I don't think so. God, I pray that the enemy would not rob us or steal any joy from us, about how we were designed. God, would you help us know ourselves well enough to know kind of what we were made to do? Not that we would be looking inward so much that we're just navel gazing and we're no good to anybody. But Lord, would you give us wisdom to see what you have planted in us and how we can best serve you and other people. Lord, I pray for the women who are feeling just kind of down in the dumps because they don't feel like they're doing the thing they're supposed to do. For the ones who feel like they very literally have no idea what that is. Lord, I pray for a special revelation, a special encouragement. God, would you let them know you see them, they have a purpose, and that you're pleased with exactly what they're doing and that you will make sure to let them know what's next. They won't miss it. God, you're a good God who is not trying to play games with us. You don't hide stuff just to make us work for it. That's not your heart. So Lord, if we don't know what's next, God, would you help us to trust you that we don't need to know, or we sure would. Lord, would you just overwhelm us this week with your goodness? May we see you in a new way. Please show us a new facet of yourself. We don't even care which one. We just want to know you better. In Jesus' name, amen.